his revelation.
But if I see tens of thousands of ballots being manipulated, I can't go along with that.
This is a conspiracy.
You can't handle the truth.
Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the podcast. It is Wednesday, December 13th, 2023. Today, I'm going to start talking about the Heartland Rasmussen poll that Perry and I discussed last night on episode 63 of Tuesdays with Perry, which states that a majority of American voters polled engaged in voter fraud and that it was all self-admitted. I'm also going to talk about the COP28, the COP28 conference, where they originally said they weren't going to transition out of fossil fuels, but then because the president of the COP28 said that there's no evidence for man-made climate change to the degree that would warrant such a move, but after bitter fighting, they went back and said that they will transition out of fossil fuels, which will destroy the global economy and send billions of people into poverty. I think that's the point. I think they call it neo-feudalism. Then I'm going to talk a little bit about Argentina's new president, Javier Milei, who continues his shock therapy to the Argentinian economy. Don't forget to engage the channel. Like, subscribe to the podcast, and share, and leave a comment if you like. All right, let's get into the headlines. All right, we're going to start out with John Solomon, Just the News, who also reports on this poll. 1 in 5 mail-in voters admit to committing voter fraud in the 2020 election. I originally said it's a majority. It's not a majority, but when you look at the numbers, you'll kind of figure out what's going on here. A total of 21% of mail-in voters said they filled out ballot for another person's behalf, which is illegal ballot harvesting. There are some ballot harvesting, which is legal. You can go and pick up a ballot from people, but filling it out for them or telling them how to vote is indeed illegal. So let's go to the Heartland Institute itself, where we're going to see Heartland Rasmussen poll. 1 in 5 mail-in voters admit to committing at least one kind of voter fraud during the 2020 election. 70% of mail-in voters admit that in 2020 they voted in a state where they are no longer a permanent resident. 21% of mail-in voters admitted that they filled out a ballot for a friend or family member, which is illegal, mind you. 70% of mail-in voters said they signed a ballot for a friend or family member with or without his or her permission. And 8% of likely voters said they were offered to pay or a reward for voting in 2020, which is also illegal. Taken together, the results of the survey questions appear to show that voter fraud was widespread in the 2020 election, especially among those who cast a ballot. Donald Trump stated on Truth Social, "This is the biggest story of the year. Republicans must do something about it. Don't be Mitch McConnell and his gang of rhinos. Have to make a move now. Get tough, get smart. Our country is being stolen." So, and Perry and I broke down the percentages yesterday. Basically what it was that, well, let's just go into the director of Socialism Research Center, Justin Haskins, who said, if I could go to the exact quote that we talked about last night, "This conclusion isn't based on conspiracy theories or suspect evidence, but rather from responses made directly from the voters themselves. A democratic republic cannot survive if election laws allow voters to commit fraud so easily. And that's exactly what occurred in the 2020 election." Now, the percentages were like 30-30-30. 30% Republicans, 30% Democrats, and 30% not even unregistered, but unregistered in the sense is that the respondent didn't say they were either Republican or Democrat, but could very well be anti-Trump. So you could put all 60% of these people in the Democratic category, and even some of the Republican, one-third Republican, even some of those people could very well have been anti-Trumpers. So it looks, or it seems to be, and was suspected to be, that during the election, people were voting against who they saw as Hitler. So they were coached and did so, committed fraud, because they believed that the fraud they were committing was lesser a crime than allowing Trump, duly elected president, to get into office. So moving on to the COP28, Wall Street Journal reports this morning, COP28 nations agree for the first time, it's unprecedented, transition away from fossil fuels. United Arab Emirates brokers a compromise that calls for a clean energy shift to accelerate this decade. Because the COP28 president did indeed say that there was no evidence, and there is no evidence to suggest that man-made pollution, which none of us like, but they call carbon dioxide, which you exhale, a pollutant, you are a pollutant, that there's no evidence to suggest that man-made pollution is causing climate change, originally dubbed as global warming, but when the global warming subsided, they started calling it climate change, because then there was a global cooling, and now it's warming again. And the fact is, fossil fuels are actually the cleanest and the cheapest way to create energy. And in a more technological world, limiting the access to energy to only affluent people is going to be detrimental to society, to the global society and civilization at large. BBC News also reports COP28 deal calls for a global transition away from fossil fuels for first time. This is it's very disturbing for me. For the first time, it deals with five highs and lows of the conference, and it shows a native, it looks like a Brazilian, but a South American native. And those are the types of people it's going to hurt. So many communities, if you didn't know, many communities in the world ban heating from burning firewood. A lot of places in the United States, wood-fired furnaces are illegal. And the whole reason that there was a transition from wood was there was a deforestation problem, obviously. But wood creates more carbon, not carbon dioxide, but carbon in the air, which is a pollutant. Now, carbon particulate, you don't get that from burning gas, natural gas. You do from oil. But the war isn't on carbon particulate as much as on carbon dioxide, which is a naturally occurring gas. And as I said, this move is dangerous, and many people that are against the climate change hoax, which is that people are, which is, if it's a slippery slope, because you look at the end game, it's going to label people's exhalation a pollutant, is what they're going for. And man-made, anything that you say man-made this, man-made that, is a danger to the planet. It's actually a war on humanity. So that's the slippery slope. Nobody likes pollution. I'm an original environmentalist. I love nature, and I want to keep the air clean, the water clean. I would like clean food and drinking water as well. But that stuff goes on to be more and more polluted and contaminated, and that doesn't matter. But, you can't use combustion engines anymore that run on fossil fuel, which is ridiculous and will prove to be the downfall of human civilization, at least for the majority of people. There will be an elite class that'll live in an Elysium-type style And they could, you know, ride around in private jets that use fossil fuel, but we won't allow to have combustion anything. We can only use electricity that they generate and that they sell to you. It's a monopoly. So Yahoo Finance writes, Argentina's Milei devalues peso by 54% in the first batch of shock measures. And we'll just read the lead here from Bloomberg. Argentina devalued the peso by 54%, overhauled its crawling peg. You have to understand the financial term of peg, and announced massive spending cuts to eliminate its primary fiscal deficit next year as the first steps in President Javier Milei's shock therapy program. They're going to try to undermine it as much as possible, mind you, because they don't want other people repeating this. The newly inaugurated administration weakened the official exchange rate to 800 pesos per dollar. Economy Minister Luis Caputo said in a televised address after the close of local markets on Tuesday, it was 366.5 per dollar before the address. The central bank will henceforth target a monthly devaluation of 2%. The moves were welcomed by the National Monetary Fund. The central bank is scheduled to announce new monetary measures Wednesday. There's no more money, Caputo said. The addiction to fiscal deficits is over. And as I reported yesterday, he cut 9 ministries. And hopefully, I mean, the guy, Milei, is an economist. So hopefully, you know, this is going to work. He did pledge to get rid of the country's central bank. It looks like he's getting away from this because he's actually using the central bank at present for some of these economic reforms. Financial Post reports Milei's shock therapy already leaves investors craving for more. Just 2 days after taking office, Javier Milei's government announced 10 new measures to pull Argentina's economy out of its funk, away from the brink, really. And they state exactly what I just read from Bloomberg. Let's see if they... 10 discrete measures, but not economic plan leaves a favor of improvisation. A flavor of improvisation. The non-renewal of some labor contracts and re-education of civil servant posts are rather small. Social spending announcement was important to avoid unrest. So they will continue some social spending. Inflation will be higher than projected in the next 3 months. It is a start, but more work is needed. Right, so these are all statements from other financial bigwigs. We'll see what happens there. Reuters is reporting Zelensky meets Republican doubts and push for U.S. aid to fight Russia. I need to move this right here. Excuse me. The reality of this story is none of the American electorate want to spend more money on Ukraine. It's war spending. The American public does not like us supporting or fighting foreign wars. They tried to get something going in Israel because there's more support for Israel to maybe so they could tie Ukrainian spending to something. But the Republicans want to tie the spending to border security. This is from the Daily Caller. Speaker Johnson says no Ukraine aid without border funding after meeting Zelensky, which is fine. I don't think we should spend any on Ukraine at all. I know that part of legislation, especially budget legislation, is you have to make deals. So whatever deal you're going to cut should be even-handed. You can't give $100 billion to Ukraine and $6 billion for the border. I don't think you should spend any of that. I think Trump should be in office and you should cut all the spending to Ukraine and build the border wall, however much that costs. Border enforcement, obviously, you need more agents. But what the Biden administration wants to do is take $6 billion, put it into the capabilities at the southern border to process immigrants into the country and not repel migrants, illegal migrants, from coming into the country. Now, I don't care much for Mike Johnson. It is what it is, though. Mike Johnson indicated that his position to aid on Ukraine remained tied to border security after meeting Tuesday with the country's president. I mean, my reality is a lot of people are against spending at all in Ukraine, and that's good. But there are at least some of the RINO and establishment Republicans are willing to deal in the fact that it should be tied to border security. They're 10,000 crossing a day, 2 million a year. This is untenable, certainly. And without significant measures to repel migrants and not process migrants, it's not going to stop. The cartels, the coyotes are making too much money. The foreign aid, if you look really into the story, the routes coming up from Central and South America are well-planned and well-fortified with aid groups along the way, making the trip by foot and rail possible because of the aid groups facilitating it. So there is a pipeline into the United States that people from all over the world are taking advantage of, and many Chinese, and their terrorists or people aligned with terrorist organizations are also getting in. Which takes us to our next story from Fox. FBI, DHS warn of threats to public safety during holiday season, amplified by Israel-Hamas conflict. The FBI says hate crimes have spiked nationwide since Hamas' deadly October 7th terrorist attack on Israel. But the fact is that there's sleeper cells that are coming across the border right now. Is it a majority of the migrants? Obviously not. But there are military-aged men with dubious connection to foreign groups who could be awakened at any time and ordered to strike, whether it's Hezbollah or Hamas or the Russians or the Chinese, you know, who knows? And it's not, you know, there's not a fear mongering. It's just, it's like what we talked about yesterday, is that the Chinese have exploited openings in hacking attacks all over U.S. infrastructure. And are they going to exploit them fully now? No, they're going to wait for a time that's opportune to them. Will they'll strike all, they'll exploit all these weaknesses at once, either during a war or ahead of an attack on Taiwan. And the administration, the Democrats, and a lot of tech companies leave the back door open for the communist Chinese to walk right in. So Li Fang's reports on his website, NewsGuard's Ministry of Truth, the anti-misinformation company works closely with intelligence agencies and government officials, a relationship that faces new scrutiny. And I'll just, I don't have his lead here because you have to subscribe. But the reality behind this headline is that when the Biden administration failed to create a Department of Misinformation in the U.S. government, they outsourced it privately like they often do, which is it's public-private. It's run by the intelligence agencies. And this private company goes around looking for misinformation, which is just inconvenient dissent is what it is. So information that is inconvenient to the official narrative of the government. And most of you know that already. From Axios, pharmacies give medical records to police without warrants, probe uncovers. Yeah, you should always, you know, anything that you do publicly should be closely guarded as much as possible. The fact is, if you're misusing prescriptions for any reason, that you might very well get caught. But that is a violation of privacy. But companies don't care, whether it's Facebook or whether it's CVS. Did the FBI or local police come and say, we need this? They usually hand it right over. I think it was only Apple that resisted the FBI to being able to crack into phones. Because you really need a warrant for that. You need a warrant for all of this. Again, with Just the News, House GOP sets up impeachment, floor vote, says Biden, Stonewall investigations indeed. Hunter Biden will reportedly be in Washington on Wednesday, but the arrival is surrounded by speculation he will not show up for a private deposition on the day of the planned impeachment inquiry vote in the House. Right. I'm sure they're all stonewalling because they're guilty. In a pay-for-play scheme, at the very least, espionage at the most. Hunter Biden wanted a public House hearing, a deposition to testify in public, because he's worked very well with his little, oh, I'm just a drug addict and I was smoking Parmesan cheese that I picked out of the carpet. But, and he probably never really did that. That's a trope that many people addicted to crack, and I've smoked crack before, so, you know, there is that, because it's very addicting, and so when the crack's all gone, you're looking around for stuff you had dropped, because you're so friggin' tweaked out. But I don't think that Hunter Biden, with his millions and billions of dollars or access to that money, ever was crawling around on the carpet looking for coke. He'd just ring up his friend and have him bring more. But he puts that narrative out like, I'm just a poor drug addict crawling around on the floor smoking Parmesan cheese, you know, in his khakis and his tucked in sweater. You know, I had a drug problem, but, it's applying for sympathy. And he got it. Oh, and poor Joe Biden. And, you know, it's hard having a son addicted to drugs. That has nothing to do with the fact that Hunter Biden was a bag man for the family business, which I believe involved espionage, shell companies, and all this other stuff. It has nothing to do with the fact that he was addicted to coke. A lot of, you know, they don't really call him a playboy, but a lot of, young people that are sons or daughters of affluent, powerful families have problems with substance abuse. So, this is from Reuters. U.S. agency will not reinstate $900 million subsidy for SpaceX Starlink unit. So they've been going after Musk time and time again. This is breaking news, I think from yesterday. The fact of the matter here is that Musk reinstates Alex Jones, and then they go after his subsidy. And that's how actually Musk got rich, to be honest with you, is that his government market for private space exploration and private satellite launching, you know, he should just revoke Starlink from Ukraine then, if he's not going to get a subsidy, because the Pentagon leaned on him when he balked at giving Ukraine Starlink access. So they said, well, we're going to take your subsidy away. And he goes, okay, they could have Starlink. And now they took the subsidy away anyway. So they're going after Musk because he represents something they don't want. He's supporting populism and libertarian populism. So it's not so much about conservative populism as it is libertarian populism, but the current libertarian movement is conservative in its nature, not just populist. Populist is different from conservative. You could be a populist left. You could be populist right. You could be libertarian right. You could be libertarian left. But you can't be conservative left, if you know what I mean. So the Post-Millennial reports Rumble under attack. CEO confirms unprecedented attack on free speech platform servers, suspects political motive. Indeed, as I mentioned the other day, I had a hard time, I think Monday, getting, which screwed up my whole posting. I didn't get started. I slept in. I didn't get started till late. And then trying to post on Rumble took me forever. And I didn't get it episode up. Monday's episode up till Tuesday morning. So there was an unprecedented attack. He suspects a political motive. Indeed, like I said, the people around free speech or populism in general, unprecedented libertarianism, freedom of speech advocates that are battling against the authoritarian left, really the postmodern left, which is authoritarian, and this new wave, the postmodernist, but this technological elite, tyranny, the authoritarian, this whole thing, the whole technology was built around the idea of it being authoritarian, you know, monitoring, and it's the same thing with CBDCs, not allowing any sort of privacy. They want to get rid of the John Locke notion of liberty and privacy. So they want to get rid of online privacy, just like Nikki Haley. Everybody should have to use their real name online and blah, blah, blah. Nobody wants that. The fact is, you know, if you want to be, if you want to give up your anonymity, fine. But that's a point of democracy and a free society is staying anonymous if you choose to be. You know, even if you want to make a public statement, chime in and give your opinion on something or post something, post content, you don't have to give your real name because of the backlash. And they organize the backlash through the leftist brown shirts the same manner is to create self-censorship, a chilling effect on free speech. Because if you feel you speak out against something that you're going to get attacked and deplatformed. On Gutfeld last night, they were talking about Andrew Tosh from Tosh.0 who got canceled. And he was saying, there's nothing wrong with cancel culture. You should be able to speak freely without any worry of revenge or repercussions, period. You know, by your boss or by the state in particular. So the last story here is BBC. UK economy falls unexpectedly in October as higher rates bite. Has nothing to do with it. There's a problem with socialist fiscal policy that's ruining the global economy, really, but particularly in free countries where they allow this unbridled spending on social programs, whatever they may be, whether it's warranted or needed. That's why we had such high inflation is Joe Biden spent or borrowed an extra $4 trillion to spend on God knows what that wasn't really needed. I think that's it. That's it. So check out episode 63 of Tuesdays with Perry that we posted last night. It was really good. We got into a lot of subjects. We talk about Israel facilitating millions of dollars worth of payments to Hamas for years. And that's on top of Israel knowing about the attack plan and doing nothing. And we talked about the recent Rasmussen Heartland poll. And we talked about Chinese espionage and illegal Chinese biolabs in the United States and California that doesn't seem really bothered anybody and didn't seem to bother the CDC. And we talked about Trump's poll numbers in Iowa. Got to get on the Trump train. All right, that's it for me today. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an conspiracy.
The New World Order.
But if I see tens of thousands of ballots being manipulated, I can't go over that.